Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Memory of Ram Goldar, and today we're in Sechel Sukkah Daf Gimel. The first parak, Sukkah Shehi Gavoha. So the three topics are going to focus on number one. Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, Halacha tzrikha shetehei machazechetz rosh v'ruba v'shulchanu. The halacha is that a sukkah must be large enough to accommodate one's head, most of his body, and his table. When asked according to whom he's ruling, he answered that he was going according to Beis Shammai, who argues later in a mission with Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds that if the table is inside the house, the sukkah is still valid. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak challenged Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak's premise that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were debating a sukkah's minimum dimensions. Perhaps they were arguing in a matter of a large sukkah, where one sits at the entrance of the sukkah and his table is in his house. Beis Shammai holds gazrin shemi yimashi chachar shulchanu. We prohibit this lest he's drawn after his table and eats inside the house. And Beis Hillel says we do not prohibit this. So after a lengthy analysis, the Gemara concludes that they are arguing in both cases. Pointing to the Gemara brings up Raisa that teaches that a house that does not contain an area that is 4x4 amos is patim from many halachas. It begins patim min mezuzah, min ma'akav, ve'in matamim in the gaim. It's patim from the mitzvah of mezuzah, from the mitzvah of a protective fence, and does not become tame from tzaras. Ve'in onecho bebati arichoma, and is not irredeemably sold, as are the houses of old cities. Ve'in chozinu rab mo'orcheo mochama, and we do not return on account from the battlefront. What's the reason? Because the word bias is written in the Torah with reference to all of them, and a dwelling less than 4 amos squared is not considered a bias. The Braisa continues, Ve'en ma'arvim bo, ve'en mishtafim bo, ve'en menichim bo erev, and we do not make an erev chatzeros with such a house, nor do we make a shitufi mevos with it, and we do not place an erev chatzeros in it. What's the reason? Because a structure less than 4 amos squared is not fit for dwelling. Rashi explains that since the residents of the chatzor are regarded as dwelling in the house that the erev is placed in, it stands to reason that the house must be fit for habitation. And point number 3, the brights we just mentioned stated that an erev may not be placed in a house that is less than 4x4 amos, and infers from this that we may place a shittuf in it. What's the reason for the distinction between an erev and a shittuf? Because a house smaller than 4x4 amos squared is no worse than a chatzir in a mabwe. Rashi explains that if we were to view the house as though its roof and walls were removed, it's now simply part of the surrounding open-air chatzir. The difference between a shittuf and an erev is that an erev symbolically allows all the residents of a chatzir to be legally viewed as dwelling in one house. Therefore, the house must be fit for habitation. The function of a shituf, on the other hand, is to merge all the courtyards of the mavui for their use, not for habitation. As long as the shituf is located in a protected space, the shituf is valid, even if that space is less than 4x4. So once again, the 3 points are, number 1, Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, Halacha tzrikha shetehei machazechetz rosh v'ruba v'shulchanu. The halacha is that a sukkah must be large enough to accommodate one's head, most of his body, and his table. When asked according to whom he's ruling, he answered that he was going according to Beis Shammai, who argues later in the Mishnah with Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds that if the table was inside the house, the sukkah is still valid. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak challenged Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchak's premise that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel were debating a sukkah's minimum dimensions. Perhaps they were arguing in a matter of a large sukkah, where one sits at the entrance of the sukkah and his table is in his house. Beis Shammai holds, Gazun shemi yimashik achor shulchano. We prohibit this, lest he's drawn after his table and eats inside the house, and Beis Hillel says we do not prohibit this. After a lengthy analysis, the Gemara concludes they're arguing in both cases. Pointing to the Gemara brings a brisa that teaches that a house that does not contain an area that is 4x4 amos is pater from many halachas. It begins pater minim mezuzah, minim akave, and matamim in the gaim. It's pater from the mitzvah of mezuzah and from the mitzvah of a protective fence, and doesn't become tamei from tzaraz, ve'eno nechlat bebati arichoma, and is not irredeemably sold as the houses of walled cities, ve'en chozin olav mo'orcheo mochama, and we do not return on its account from the battlefront. What's the reason? Because the word bias is written in the Torah with reference to all of them, and a dwelling less than 4 amos squared is not considered a bias. The Braisa continues, Ve'en ma'arvim bo, ve'en mishtatim bo, ve'en menichim bo erev. And we do not make an erev chatzeros with such a house, we don't make a shitufim mevaos with it, and we do not place an erev chatzeros in it. What's the reason? Because a structure less than 4 amos squared is not fit for dwelling. Rashi explains that since the residents of the chatzor are regarded as dwelling in the house that the erev is placed in, it stands to reason that the house must be fit for habitation. And point number 3, the Braisa above stated that an erev may not be placed in a house that is less than 4x4 amos, and infers from this that we may place a shituf in it. What's the reason for the distinction between an erev and a shituf? The lagar machatzir shebemavui, because a house smaller than 4x4 amos squared is no worse than a chatzir in a mavui. Rashi explains that if we were to view the house as though its roof and walls were removed, it's now simply part of the surrounding open-air chatzir. The difference between a shituf and an erev is that an erev symbolically allows all the residents of a chatzir to be legally viewed as dwelling in one house. Therefore, the house must be fit for habitation. The function of a shituf, on the other hand, is to merge all the courtyards of the mavui for their use, not for habitation. As long as the shituf is located in a protected space, the shituf is valid even if that space is less than 4x4. All right, so now we go to our simur dav gimel, and our standard simon is a gamal, a camel. A camel. So here goes. The huge camel sticking out from his small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house that was too small to be chayv from mezuzah amaka and was only suitable to keep a shituf. Once again in slow motion. The huge camel, that must mean we're on daf gimel, gamal, camel. The huge camel sticking out from his small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house, which reminds us, the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel argue on the minimum size of a sukkah, as well as in the case of a large sukkah, whether the table needs to be in the sukkah, lest the person is drawn after it and comes to eat in his house. So the huge camel sticking out from his small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house that was too small to be chayv from mezuzah and ma'akev. Which reminds the Gemara brings a braisa that teaches that a house that is not 4x4 almost squared is patur min mezuzah, min ma'akev, and matam min negayim. Because the word bias is written in the Torah with reference to all of them, and a dwelling less than 4 almost squared is not considered a bias. So the huge camel sticking out from his small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house that was too small to be chayv from mezuzah ma'akev and was only suitable to keep a shituf. Which reminds us, a shituf may be placed in a house that is less than 4x4 amos, since the function of a shituf is to merge all the courtyards of the mavui for their use, not for habitation. As long as the shituf is located in a protected space, the shituf is valid, even if that space is less than 4x4. So once again, the huge camel sticking out from a small sukkah was trying to pull his table into it from his tiny house that was too small to be chayv from mezuzah and ma'akah and was only suitable to keep a shituf. All right, now it's time for a four blot back chazara. Daf pei vav. So the simur daf pei vav is polis. So here goes. The chilul Hashem polis. That must mean we're on daf pei vav, polis. The chilul Hashem polis, who captured the guy whom all his friends were embarrassed of, which reminds us that one who bears the sin of chilul Hashem does not have the capacity to suspend punishment, nor Yom Kippur to atone, nor suffering to purge, El Kulon Tolim Misim Amrekos, rather all of them together suspend, and death purges the sin. They were asked what constitutes a Chilul Hashem, and one answer was, anyone whose friends are embarrassed on account of his bad reputation, this is a Chilul Hashem. So the Chilul Hashem police, who captured the guy whom all his friends were embarrassed of, had him read the greatest tshuva poster, which reminds the Gemara brings several statements about the greatness of tshuva. Gadol tshuva shemeviel ripos olam, greatest tshuva brings healing to the world, it reaches to the kisei hakavod, and gadol tshuva shezadonos nazol shgagos, when done out of yira, zadonos nazol zechuyos, when done out of love. So the Chilul Hashem police, who captured the guy whom all his friends were embarrassed of, had him read the greatest tshuva poster, and advised him that he should reveal his bein adam l'chavero sins to the assembled crowd. Which reminds us, we have a steer in the psuk, and one pasuk says, Ashrei nesui pesha kesui chata'a, fortunate is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is concealed, but on the other hand, it's written, Mechase pesha'av lo yetzchiach, one who conceals his sins will not succeed. One answer is that a sin widely known is revealed, but one not known should be concealed. Another pshat is that Bein Adam Chavero's sin should be revealed, whereas an aver that is Bein Adam Makom should be concealed. Daf Pei Zayin. So the simmer Daf Pei Zayin is a golden Pez candy dispenser. So here goes. The notorious little thief who repeatedly said he would steal another candy from his friend's Golden Pez candy dispenser. Golden Pez candy dispenser? That must mean we're on Daf Pei Zayin. So the notorious little thief who repeatedly said he would steal another candy from his friend's Golden Pez candy dispenser and then do tshuva, which reminds the Mishnah Daf Pei Yom Beis Teda Homer, Echtav Ashuv, Echtav Ashuv, Eima speaking beyond the lasso's tshuva. One says, I'll sin and do tshuva. He's not given the opportunity to do teshuva. And the reason why it was repeated twice is in accordance with what Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, the one who does an avera and repeats it, nasalo keheter. It seemed to him as if it's permissible. So the notorious little thief who repeatedly said he would steal another candy from his friend's Golden Pez candy dispenser and then do tshuva had a major turn of heart and beseeched the victim three times with three friends, which reminds that the Gemara brings the halachas regarding appeasing the one that was wrong, such as appeasing him three times and each time he's accompanied by three people, and we're also told what to do if the person that was wronged had died. So the notorious little thief who repeatedly said he would steal another candy from his friend's Golden Pez candy dispenser and then do tshuva had a major turn of heart and beseeched the victim three times with three friends and said vidui before he joined his family for the suda hamafsekes. Which reminds us that we say vidui numerous times throughout the day, and the Chum said that one should also say vidui before the suda mafsekes, lest he gets intoxicated at the meal and is unable to confess. Daf peches. So the simmer daf peches is a garbage can. So here goes. The Baal Keri hiding out in the garbage can. That must mean we're on daf Peches, puch, garbage can. The bald carry hiding out in the garbage can because he was so embarrassed that he wasn't allowed to go to the mikveh after mincha because the ne'ilah was at night. Which reminds us on Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, Rav said, Tefillas ne'ilah poteres eshel arvis. Ne'ilah exempts one from the chiyuv of mar, meaning that if one has recited ne'ilah, he does not have to recite mariv that night because Rav holds that ne'ilah is recited after nightfall. Otherwise, it could not substitute for mariv. On this daf, the Gemara teaches that the question of whether ne'ilah can substitute for mariv is actually a machlokas tanaim. So the Baal Keri hiding on the garbage can because he was so embarrassed that he wasn't allowed to go to the mikveh after mincha because ne'ilah was at night was so confused when a sign came down from Shamayim that his sins were forgiven, which reminds us that teacher of Brice has taught the flying Brice before of Nachman, Aroa Keri b'Yom Kippurim, Avonos of Mochlinlo. If one experiences an involuntary seminal omission Yom Kippur, his sins have evidently been forgiven. So the Baal Keri hiding on the garbage can because he was so embarrassed that he wasn't allowed to go to the mikveh after mincha because ne'ilah was at night, was so confused when a sign came down from Shamayim that his sins were forgiven, together with a portrait of him in the future with a lot of offspring. Which reminds us, a brice of the Yeshiva of Ishmael taught, Haroah Keri b'Yom Kippurim Yidda Kol HaShana Kula, one who experiences a seminal omission on Yom Kippur should worry all year long, but if he lives out the year, he may be sure that he has a place in Olam Haba. Rashi explains that living out the year means that he is Maisim Tovim to his credit and is thus deserving of Olam Haba. And Rabbi Dimi came to Babel. He said, Mapish Chaye Sagi Maski. He will live long, multiply, and multiply further. Dav Beis and Sukkah. So the Simmer Dav Beis is a bias, a house. So here goes. The above 20 Amas Sukkah that looked like a house, that must be more in Dav Beis. The above 20 Amas Sukkah that looked like a house and was next to a Mavui was declared Pasul, which reminds us that the Gemara gave two answers as to why the Tani used the term Pasula for Sukkah Uschach is above 20 Amos instead of Yemayit that was mentioned by a court that was too high in a Mavui, either because a Sukkah is a Deraisa or that a Sukkah has so many details that the mission would have become unwieldy if it included a fix for every case. So the above 20 Amas Sukkah that looked like a house and was next to a Mavui was declared Pasul because it didn't remind people of the Sukkahs in the Midbar, which reminds us three different sources were given for why Schach cannot be above 20 Amos. Either because one won't see the Schach and be aware they're in a Sukkah to remind them of the Sukkahs in the Midbar, or they'll be shaded from the walls and not the Schach, or because it will then need to become a Diras Keva. So the above 20 Amas Sukkah that looked like a house and was next to a Mavi was declared Pasul because it didn't remind people of the Sukkahs in the Midbar and its walls didn't reach the Schach, which reminds us that Rabbi Yoshi has said in the name of Rav that the Machlokas in the Mishnah between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is only B'Shein Dafanos Magios L'Schach, where the walls do not reach the Schach. If they do, the Tanakama would agree that a Sukkah higher than 20 Amas is kosher. The Gemara says this opinion is in accord with Rav, who disqualified a Sukkah more than 20 Amas high because the eye doesn't notice the Schach. Here, since the walls reach the Schach, the eye will surely notice it. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.